This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope that this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church.
I've been preaching about living, learning, and leading in difficult days. These are different days, and that's what I've been preaching about. And I've been preaching about Elijah, and I wish I could change my name. I really do. I'd like to change my name to Elijah. I really would. I just love this guy. I can't get enough of him. I'm going to preach about him again next Sunday, and then the first Sunday in December, I'll be talking about home for Christmas. But I just can't get enough of Elijah. Now, I want to give you something to think about, and then we'll get into the scripture reading. This guy prayed and called fire down from heaven. There was a young boy that was dead. He laid his body over him and prayed, and the boy came back to life. You said, you got to be kidding. No, that happened. This guy literally, God fed him. Ravens would bring him meat and bread every morning and every evening as he was down by this brook. He had experiences galore. What a life, this guy Elijah. But look at this, folks. And he, talking about Elijah, went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. It was a broom tree. They're in the Middle East. They're about 10 feet high. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, "It is enough now, O Lord. Take my life, for I'm not any better than my fathers." My goodness. Talking about a roller coaster. A guy had done all that, and now he's under a broom tree, and he wants to die. But here's what's more alarming is what James says. Elijah was a man like us. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. So he's just like us, folks. That's why I say there's so much bad in the best of us and so much good in the worst of us. It hardly behooves any of us to talk about the rest of us. Amen? Because the best of men are just men at best. And at the end of the day, we've all got feet of clay, and that's why we need Jesus so much. Amen? That's why we need Him so much, and that's why we need to give Him all the honor and all the glory and all the praise. I want to talk to you about courage for the discouraged. Courage for the discouraged. There was a man that was very discouraged. He decided that he would end his life. He goes to a bridge and he's contemplating jumping off that bridge and literally ending his life. The policeman comes out and says to the man, "It can't be this bad." He said, "Yeah, it's that bad." He said, "You don't understand." He said, "I've got 4 children. I have no relationship with my children. My children won't speak to me. Life's not worth living. I want to end it. Not only did I have 4 children that won't speak to me, I had a Yorkie. I had a Yorkie for 17 years. I felt like he was my only friend in the world. He's died. Not only has my Yorkie died, my wife has left me. She ran around on me. She met somebody else. She's left me. But what makes it so bad? She has left me for my very best friend." He said, "I lost my job. I have no way to make any money. I decided I would go look for a job. I got in my pickup truck, and literally, the engine blew up." He said, "My goodness, friend." That went on for about 30 minutes. And after 30 minutes, he and the policeman joined hands, and they both jumped over. Discouragement. Think about that word. Discourage. It's when courage has been drained out of you. It's when you lose heart. It's when you lose hope. That's what happened to Elijah. He got under this juniper tree, and he simply prayed to die. There was a reason why he prayed to die, because the Israelites believed that if a Jew committed suicide, it was an insult to God. They believed that it was very displeasing to God. So an Israelite would never take their own life. They simply prayed that God would take their lives. And that's what Elijah did. Now let me make five statements that I pray will be helpful to you, and then we'll give you some practical things that I believe that we can apply and help us in what we're discussing today. The first thing I want you to see is the best Christians can get depressed. The best Christians can get depressed. Get real. This guy Elijah, he called fire down from heaven. But he got under a juniper tree and he wanted to die. You know, the first mega church in the world was in London, England. It was pastored by a man by the name of Charles Spurgeon. He was referred as the Prince of Preachers. Spurgeon had a boomerang voice. He pastored London's Metropolitan Tabernacle. But in 1866, Spurgeon got up to preach one Sunday, just like I'm getting up to preach. And this is what Spurgeon said. He said, "I have to speak today to myself." Now, I want you to know, folks, I've been there many times when I had to speak to myself. I've been there many times when I preach myself under conviction. I've been there many times when the message spoke to me. See, I learned a long time ago, sometimes when worship and we're in the Word, it blesses our heart. But sometimes it busts our hide, amen? Many times I've preached and preached myself under conviction. Spurgeon said, "I speak to myself today." He said, "I'm endeavoring to encourage those who are distressed and downhearted. I shall be preaching. I trust to myself, for I need something to cheer my heart. Why, I cannot tell." Most people that are depressed don't know why they're depressed, by the way. "Wherefore, I do not know, but I have a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. My soul is cast down within me. I feel as I had rather die than live. All that God hath done by me seems to be forgotten, and my spirit flags, and my courage breaks down. I need your prayers." I want to say something, folks, with affirmation and emphatically. The best Christians can get depressed. The very best Christians are not exempt from being discouraged and disheartened. There's a second thing I'd say to you. Christian leaders are very susceptible to depression. Christian leaders are very susceptible to depression. See, I believe Elijah felt lonely. I believe he had experienced defeating the 850 false prophets, but the nation still didn't turn back to God. And he felt responsible for the results. And he felt like a failure. And folks, we're not responsible for the results. We're just responsible to do what God has called us to do. You be the best parent you can be. You be the best parent you can be. But you're not responsible for the results. Your children have a free moral agent. They are free moral agents. They have a will. And Elijah thought he was responsible for the results. Here's what I want to say. Many people watch me, watch our services from a lot of other churches. And I want to say to those churches, pray for your pastor. Pray for your pastor. Support your pastor. Lift him or her up, because I want you to know he or she has a big target on their back. Not only pray for your pastor, but pray for your worship leader. Let me tell you something. If you're a worship leader and you're trying to bring people into the presence of God, I promise you that angers the enemy. Christian leaders are more susceptible. Let me tell you the third thing. Exhaustion causes depression. Now you got to keep in mind, Elijah, for 3.5 years, had been on the run. He had just finished an 18-mile run, by the way. He was exhausted. He was literally worn out. Exhaustion leads to depression. That's why Jesus said in Mark 6 and 31, sometimes you need to go into a desert place and rest a while. I love what Howard Hendricks said. He said, sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is take a nap. If you're trying to burn the candle at both ends, you're going to burn the candle out. Sometimes you just get worn out. You don't get tired of the way, but you get tired in the way. And you simply need some rest. I heard about a guy that was sleeping in church. None of you would never do that. Somebody said, Pastor Benny, what do you think if you're ever in a situation and a bunch of people are sleeping, what would you recommend? Wake up the speaker. Amen? If a bunch of people are sleeping, you might want to wake up the preacher. I learned a long time ago, if you've got icicles in the pew, you've probably got a snowman in the pulpit. But this guy was sleeping, and so the preacher went to his son, and he said, I want you to keep him awake. I'm going to give you $1 a service to keep him awake. For 3 weeks, sure enough, that preacher, every time he looked, that guy was wide awake. But on the fourth week, he started sleeping again. And the preacher said, get real. I'm giving you $1 a week to keep him awake. He said, yeah, but he's giving me $2 a week to let him sleep. Amen. Let me tell you the fourth thing. Even Christians can be suicidal. Even Christians can be suicidal. You say, Pastor, where do you get that? Well, in Jeremiah 20, verses 14 through 18, Jeremiah wanted to die. In Job 3 and 1, Job wanted to die. In Numbers 11, 14, and 15, the meekest man on the face of the earth, Moses, wanted to die. I've heard people say, let me tell you something. If somebody's going to commit suicide and they're talking about it, they're just doing it for attention. No, that's not true. 80% of the people who commit suicide talk to somebody about it before. If somebody's talking about it, you better pay attention to it. It's serious. And I want you to know, even Christians can be suicidal. We're not exempt. We're not exempt. There's a fifth thing I want you to see. There are many causes of depression. Many causes of depression. I researched 4 types of depression. Number 1 is endogenous. What's endogenous? It's a chemical imbalance. Let me tell you something, folks. If you have a chemical imbalance, it's no disgrace. It's no lack of faith to need medication. Sometimes we need medication. And folks, even if we take medication, God still does the healing. Amen? Listen, I'm a man of faith and have to take medication every day. There's a reason why that Luke, the physician, traveled with Apostle Paul. You're not less than because you have to take some medication. There's endogenous depression. And then there's reactive depression. That's how you react to something. It may be a death, maybe a divorce, maybe COVID, maybe job loss, maybe self-esteem issues. But it's reactive depression. Then there's toxic depression. It many times deals with substances, substance abuse. And then there's psychotic depression. That's a mental disorder or a nervous breakdown. I'm not a physician. I'm a practitioner of the Word of God. But I do want to give you what the Bible says, because you listen to me. There are going to be times in your life you're going to get under the juniper tree. You say, but I know the happy clappy group that says just name it and claim it, believe it and receive it, health and wealth, blab it and grab it. I don't care about that crowd. There are going to be times you're going to get under the juniper tree. And you need some foundational principles that are going to get you out from under that tree. And those foundational principles are in the Word of God. So he got under the juniper tree, and thank God he didn't stay under the juniper tree. It's not wrong to get down, but it is wrong to stay down. And I want you to know you can get up from under the juniper tree no matter what's happened in your life. First thing I'd say to you, if you're under that juniper tree, just like Elijah, Take care of your physical body. Take care of your physical body. Well, look what he said. He's under a juniper tree, and look what the Bible says. It says, and as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, an angel touched him. This was a Christophany. And he said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. What did God say? God said, you need a good meal. God said, you need some rest. You simply need to take care of your body. Let me tell you something, folks. I'm all for soul and spirit. But the last time I checked, it's housed within this body. Amen. There's a reason why. There's a reason why, ladies and gentlemen, that eating fruit is mentioned 200 times in the Bible. There's a reason. This ouches me. But there's a reason why that drinking water is mentioned 350 times in the Bible. Marilyn Hickey, did a Daystar interview one time, and I was backstage with this lady. She said, I'm 85, Pastor. Most women won't tell you their age, but she said, I'm 85. And she said, I'm going to the Middle East to preach for 3 weeks. I said, you're 85, you're going to the Middle East to preach for 3 weeks? I said, what advice would you say to me? She said, I'd tell you to take care of your body because you don't get a do-over. You don't get a do-over. I remember walking to Homer DeBerry's bedside one time. He was very sick, and I said, Mr. Homer, I'm going to pray for you. I was a young preacher, probably 18. I said, Mr. Homer, I'm going to pray for you. He called me little brother. He said, little brother, you hear me? You hear me? Don't you pray for God to touch me. I've drank enough whiskey to sink a ship. I've smoked more cigarettes than Carter's got peels. I've destroyed my body. I don't want you to pray for God to touch it now. My body's destroyed, but it's my own fault. Think about this. This is all I'm going to say, and I'll move on. Somebody said, thank God he's going to move on. I'm going to move on. But if you had a racehorse, if you owned that racehorse, and that racehorse won the Kentucky Derby, and that racehorse was worth $10 million, you wouldn't keep it up all night, feeding it junk food, making it smoke cigarettes and drink booze. So if you wouldn't do that to that racehorse, why are you doing that to you? I mean, we got to be careful. A balanced diet's not a hamburger in each hand. But let me say something. He said, you take care of your physical body, but I want to say, he said, that's not enough. Because if you read 1 Kings 19, 9, and 10, he was still down. Even though he had a good meal, even though he got some rest, he was still discouraged. So that brings us to step number two. Watch what you say to yourself. Oh, this, by the way, this is good because it's right out of God's words. Look what Proverbs 15 and 23 says. Here's a verse that we all ought to memorize today. We all ought to take it home with us. If you're listening, you ought to write it down online. A man or woman has joy in reference to what somebody says to them. No. A man or woman has joy by the answer of his or her mouth. Get this. What somebody says to you is not near as important as what you say to yourself. We need to quit listening to ourselves, and we need to start talking to ourselves. Now, wait, look here. He got in trouble over what he said to himself. Look what he said. He said, under that juniper tree, I'm not any better than my fathers. I want to ask you a question. Who said he had to be? Who said he had to be? Here's what I want you to see, folks. He got in trouble. He got discouraged. He got despondent when he started comparing himself to somebody else. You know when you're going to get discouraged? It's when you start comparing yourself to somebody else. Who said you had to be better than somebody else? Who said you had to be smaller than somebody else? Who said you had to live in a bigger house than somebody else? Who said you had to drive a nicer car than somebody else? Who said you had to have as much education as somebody else? Who said you had to be able to sing like somebody else? Who said you had to be able to preach like somebody else? Who said you had to be able to do anything like somebody else? You want to stay down? Keep comparing yourself to somebody else. Be you. You're wonderfully and gloriously created by God. Now, folks, I'm just being honest with you. I mean, this is probably pretty obvious. I don't try to preach like nobody else. Listen. I'm not going to get to heaven and God say to me, I'm not going to get to heaven and God say to me, why weren't you more like Billy Graham? I'm not going to get to heaven and God say, why weren't you like Stephen Furtick? I'm not going to get to heaven and God say to me, why weren't you like Jensen Franklin? But look, I might get to heaven and God say to me, why didn't you just be Benny Tate? Because that's who I created you to be. That's who I wanted you to be. You got in trouble when you start comparing yourself to somebody else. Be who you is, because if you is who you ain't who you is. Just be you. See, folks, watch what you say to yourself. You're your worst enemy. You know what he did? The devil will lead you to exaggerate the negative. I'll promise you, the devil will lead you to exaggerate the negative. See, Elijah said these words in verse 10. He said, I'm the only one left. I'm the only one left. But you know what God said in verse 18? No, you're not. I've got 7,000 that's never bowed a knee to Baal. You know what the devil will tell you? Nobody's got it as bad as you've got it. Yeah, they are. Hey, I got a news flash for you. There's people that have got it worse than you've got it. And they're handling it better than you're handling it. You, Pastor Benny, I'll never find a godly person. Yes, you will, because God's going to send that perfect person into your life in His good timing. Amen? You said, Pastor Benny, I'll never get this weight off me. Yes, you can get that weight off you. Yes, you can. Pastor Benny, I'll never be able to complete my degree. Yes, you can. Quit exaggerating the negative. Yes, you can. Watch what you say to yourself. The third thing I want you to see is be more than you do. Be more than you do. You say, that don't really make a lot of sense. It really will when you get into it. Look what the scripture says. And God said to Elijah, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake the pieces, the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. Wait. But after the fire, still small voice. Your translation may say, a gentle whisper. A gentle whisper. Just a gentle whisper. I see Jamie back there. I can't whisper to him. He's too far away. If I'm going to whisper to him, I got to walk back there and get real close. And for God to whisper to you, you've got to get real close. There's a message there. You say, I'm going through a low time. Rather than focus on doing so many things, focus on being with Him. Focus on being close to Him. Charles Stanley said it best. God will never give you a schedule that's so busy that you don't have time for Him.
God will never give you a schedule that's so busy that you don't have time for him. You say, Pastor, where do you get this stuff out? Out of the Bible. Mark 3:14. He chose his 12 guys that they should be with him. And then he sent them forth to preach. You said, no, I got to go do. No, you don't have to go do. You got to be with him. See, doing is an overflow of being with him. The foundation is to be with him. And see, folks, your motivation has got to be you want to be with him. You say, well, see, get this close. You want to learn God's will? You'll learn it through prayer. You want to learn God's ways? You'll learn it through his word. You got to want to be with him. Here's all I'm going to say. I'll say this about me, that way I won't offend you. If I'm not hungry for God, it's only because I'm full of myself. If I'm not hungry for God, it's only because I'm full of myself. Now, since we've turned it on me, now we're going to turn it on you. If you're not hungry for God, it's only because you're full of yourself. If you're not hungry for God, it's only because you're full of yourself. All I'm trying to say, be more than you do. Make a commitment. I'm going to be with him. And whatever doing leads out of that's okay. But I'm not going to start with doing anything. I'm going to start with being with him. I'm going to get up out of this juniper tree. I want him to whisper to me. But the only way he can whisper to me is I get close to him. And friend, you can be as close to God as you want to be. God doesn't have favorites, but he does have intimates. The fourth thing, and I'm done. Believe your best days are in the future. Believe your best days are in the future. You know what's amazing? Boy, he battled and he struggled with this Baal worship. But God told Elijah, you go 160 miles to Syria. There's a guy over there. I want you to anoint him. He's going to be your successor. And I want you to anoint two kings. And before those three men died, they had banned Baal worship. They had banned it. Here's what I want to say to you. Believe your best days are in the future. I'm so glad that Elijah didn't stay under that juniper tree. I'm so glad that Elijah didn't stay under that juniper tree. Because you know what the Lord did in his life? I was thinking about this back here as we were worshiping. God took this guy, I'm going to preach about it next week. God took this guy to heaven in a whirlwind. God took him to heaven in a whirlwind. Did you ever think about this? I just thought about it. It just came to my mind. You remember the transfiguration in the Bible? Where Jesus takes Pete, James, and John up on the mountain and he's transfigured before him. And who appears unto him? Moses and Elijah. Two guys that both prayed to die. I'll tell you something. I believe if we could talk to Elijah, he'd say, I'm sure glad I didn't stay under that juniper tree. I'm so glad I got out of that juniper tree. I'm so glad I got up. I'm so glad I didn't stay there. Because God brought Elijah into my life. And I was able to spend 10 years mentoring him because I got up under. I got out of that juniper tree. And here's what I'll say, folks. God's going to bring people into your life. It may take a juniper tree experience to do it, but God's going to bring people into your life. Let me tell you something. It's not wrong to get down, but it's wrong to stay down. And I want you to know there's courage for the discouraged today.
Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and His blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to Him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer, you repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that You died for my sin, and I confess my sin to You right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank You, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank You for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling. He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make, and thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.